Three little words. No, not I love you, not let it be, not even Jesus loves you. Three little words that are at once terrifying yet liberating, thoroughly simple yet confoundingly complex. Words that once uttered can and will profoundly change not only your own being, but those around you as well. Life is too often filled with obligations and duties, mired in daily drudgery, and the world and our culture require us to do things that we simply weren't made for, things that others believe that we should do perhaps because they may see a glimmer of talent in us or an ability that maybe they don't have. But more than likely, it's because we're the nearest warm body and we're not one to cause a fuss. Truth is, we all do it. We as Christians, however, are created for much more than that type of counterfeit life. The voice that commands the ebb and flow of the oceans, the hand that paints the sky with crimson, lavender, and gold at sunset, who winks and births a star, created you, made you from the depths of his heart and in his very own image. He has placed within you a purpose to be uniquely revealed through the gifts he has entrusted you with, giving them to you as a blessing and a joy. Three little words can change our lifeless existence into a joy-filled, purposeful, hope-giving, abundant life. Words that move us from squanderers of talent to gifted people who make a difference and reflect to others the smile of God. Those three little words are, here I am. This morning, we celebrate Laity Sunday, the day set apart in our church calendar to celebrate the gifts and talents of our members, to partner and share all that we are for our church and for God. During the short time that I've been part of this vibrant and loving congregation, I know that we are a church that truly embraces our talents and gifts. We are a gift and blessed people, both individually and as a congregation. Mike Malenga proved that to us with our participation in his little ditty at our luncheon last week. We all helped in doing something. Today, we continue to celebrate us just as we did last week. As with any celebration, it is gratifying to reflect back on the work that has been done. But we have to realize, as Carol Miller had said last week, that the work is still far from done. We still have much to do, and each of us is integral in fulfilling God's plan for his church and for his people. Even today, we are called to dream dreams, to vision, to endeavor with hope. We sit here now, 160 years after it all began, because of the hope and gifts of those who came before us. With God's grace and with the hope of the Holy Spirit and the help of the Holy Spirit, together with our gifts, we will be able to foster for those to come after us 160 years, or perhaps even 260 years, if it be God's will. God made each of us for a specific purpose with different gifts, talents, ways of thinking, and abilities. In God's economy, no one is more important than another, and no one more valuable. God's whole is made up of various parts, all of which are vital, from the smallest, youngest, weakest, to the strongest, oldest, or wisest. Life is funny, as often what the world perceives in us as a detriment is exactly what God needs to fulfill his purpose. Some Christians have the mistaken idea that they don't have much to offer or their best years are behind them, but nothing could be further from the truth. No matter how old we are, If we are alive, it means that God still has a purpose for our life here on earth, whether we truly recognize it or not. However, it is important to remember that we cannot be everything to everyone at every time. We must always keep before us the reality of who we are and to who we belong to. We all have something to contribute, something to offer. We just have to be willing to seek it and use it. You see, we all have to be willing to dare. Dare to live fully gifted lives that we share with others. To say those three little words, "Here I am." As created children of God, we have been given gifts that are not for our own glory, but for His. Therefore, we have nothing to boast about. After all, we did nothing to merit or earn them. But God does call us to develop, use, and stretch them. Together, our gifts complement each other and make our congregational body whole. Our parts coming together like musicians in an orchestra with horns, strings, and percussion, we too perform both major and minor chords in treble and bass with melody and harmony, with rhythm and rests. We are now called to work in concert together. The road ahead of us as a congregation is going to be challenging. We all know that. We have been here before, and we are facing yet another new beginning all too soon. Those of us who come from third understand it as well. Believe me, we know what it means to have to stretch our gifts. 5 years plus without a minister, we all had Laity Sunday almost every single week. Together as a congregation, we have dreams and visions and hopes, both collectively and individually. Those dreams and hopes cannot become a reality until we truly embrace who we are by recognizing and using the gifts and talent we have to work out ministry of Second Reformed Church in Hackensack. Truly utilizing our God-given gifts of ministry and service by offering them up to God, seeking our calling, discovering our own missions, walking into our future, reaching out, risking, boldly saying to the Lord, "Here I am, use me. Here I am to help someone in need. Here I am to encourage this or that. Here I am to build something up. Here I am to take something apart. Here I am to heal a wound. Here I am to foster peace. Here I am to go where you lead. Here I am, whatever. You fill in the blank." Simply those three little words, "Here I am." It's a statement that puts you in partnership with God. It tells Him that you are ready and willing to do whatever it is He is calling you to do, even if you don't think you're able to do it, or even if you don't know what it is yet. After all, aren't the very best gifts surprise ones? "Here I am" doesn't say you will succeed. Only God knows that, or what success might even look like, as God's idea of success doesn't always look like ours. But it does show you are willing, willing to be His instrument, willing to risk it all, willing to experience your God-given gifts, God-given life in all its richness and joy. So often, we believe the lie that we're not enough, but we are. You are enough just as you are, filled with flaws, foibles, fears, and gifts. God does wondrous things through us when we are willing to allow Him to do so, when we get out of His way and get over ourselves. He will take our frailties, our fears, our flaws, and make them all fabulous. We become a blessing to others, our gifts making ourselves the gift. God created you for a purpose. He has put you in a specific place for a specific reason at a specific time. This time, this place, for His purpose. We don't have to understand it. In fact, we probably won't. We just have to be willing to trust Him. We have to be willing to offer ourselves to Him. We have to be willing to say those three little words, "Here I am." Now, none of us are gifted in the same way. God has created a tapestry of talent among us, a tapestry filled with varying colors and textures, shading and vibrance, all woven together by the love of Jesus. Each of us is vital to the workings of our church and our congregation. Some of us are called to be hands or feet or brains, others for support, the back, the neck, or yes, even muscle at times. Some cheerleaders, some critics. I undoubtedly, as you can imagine by now, am probably called to be a little bit of a mouth. Sorry. But all of us work together to keep the heart and life of our church going, to carry out God's mission in this place, our communities, and in His world. Now, you may be saying to yourself, okay, Dawn, this sounds really good, but I'm too old, or tired, or too sick, or infirm. I've been there, and I've done that, and I can't possibly have anything else to offer. Or I'm done. Let someone else do it. I've had enough. Others still may be asking, what is my gift? This is especially true when life makes an unexpected turn and you find yourself in a new way of life or situation. It's a question my own grandmother posed to a former pastor of ours when she was about 88 and suddenly homebound. Up until then, she had been very active, volunteering at the hospital, pushing stretchers in the recovery room. She had worked tirelessly for our church and our women's organizations when suddenly she found herself feeling useless and old and worn out, not good for anything, because she could no longer serve as she once did, and her familiar gifts gone. Our pastor answered her by saying she was now freed up from other obligations in service to be able to do one of the very most important things of the church. She could use her gift of prayer. Prayer not only for the congregation, but for him personally and for other individuals personally. A new purpose and gift revealed to her, she never again felt useless, no matter how much her body betrayed her. We can all do something for God's kingdom here on earth, and we shouldn't be afraid to discover just what that might be. Each of us is called to something, sometimes to something grand, sometimes to something small. But all of the utmost importance and with eternal value. Now, those of us who labor for the Lord have gifts that are varied in their approach and differences that should be celebrated and embraced. Now, as I see it, in God's orchard of life, some are squirrels and some are trees. Walter Miller would say, and some are nuts. But that is quite another story. Now wait, you have to go with me on this one. I agree, it may sound a little silly, Those from third know that this is kind of the way I roll. You see, I tend to see metaphor in almost anything. I often think of things in a little quirky sort of way. I guess it's one of my own unique little gifts. Hopefully you will understand what I mean. You see, in God's creation, we have the ground that is covered by grass. Both trees and squirrels are important to the grass, yet they serve very different functions. Trees are firmly fixed to the ground. They cannot move from where they are planted. They provide cool shade from the harsh summer sun, and their fallen leaves protect the ground in winter, and their roots hold water that provides sustenance and nutrients throughout the year. Squirrels, on the other hand, scurry around, and in fact, you seldom see them stop for more than a moment or two. You always see them digging in the ground, planting acorns and seeds for the winter. They think, if I can be so bold as to continue to stretch this point, that they are doing it for themselves, but their actions actually assist God, as they help to aerate the ground by turning over the soil, and because they really are the most forgetful of creatures, you see, often they can't find what they buried, and they end up planting future trees, they start the process all over again. Each of them has special gifts that the other doesn't. God, using even the squirrel's limited little brains and forgetfulness to increase his creation. They work in harmony with each other, doing very different things, each providing necessary, vital benefits. But you see, a squirrel can never be a tree, and a tree can never be a squirrel, and they shouldn't try. Often, we believe that we can do all things or be all things in all circumstances, and we try to. Or worse, sometimes others believe that we can do all things or should do all things, and nothing could be further from the truth. God's purpose for you isn't God's purpose for me. If we try to fulfill each other's purpose, then we do a disservice to everyone. Yet if you fulfill your own purpose, you, like the frisbee of the children's message, will fly. Fly beyond anything you could ever hope or imagine, because you are living in accordance with God's purpose. And then the entire congregation soars. Today, as we celebrate Laity Sunday, and therefore us, let us prayerfully seek to use our God-given gifts, talents, and abilities, trusting that God will use them all according to his will and purpose, not only for our own lives, but for the life of our congregation as well. They say, find a need and fill it. I say, discover your gifts and use them. Follow the prompting of our God-given Holy Spirit, that still, small voice, that relentless whisper to our souls, or that huge boulder that moves us on into new and maybe even scary places. The Bible assures us, seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given. Knock and the door will be opened. Gifts aren't just for someone else. They are indeed given to even me and you. God offers us his strength, his power, through the name of his Son Jesus, if only we are willing to proclaim to him those three little words, "Here I am." Amen.